Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. On behalf of Pastor Rod, I'm Pastor Ryan, and it is good to have you with us this morning. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship. A reminder that we have in this season of Advent midweek worship opportunities. We invite you to join us online for Advent worship on Wednesdays as we explore how God shows up in some of our most beloved TV Christmas specials. You don't want to miss this. It's a really exciting thing that we're taking on here, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. There is still time to adopt a tree on the Joy property to decorate for our drive-through nativity. Please contact Michaela Tracy for more details. The care coordinator team has prepared a class on holiday stress set for Monday, December 14th. Please see the e-news for more information, including how to register. Christmas Eve services are fast approaching, and sign-ups for in-person worship are now available. There will be four services on Thursday, December 24th at 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., and 7 p.m. Please note that with the ever-changing circumstances, these in-person services are tentative. That means we have to follow state and local guidelines for worship. But in the event that we do are unable to have in-person worship, we are in creating and working on preparing a really incredible online worship experience as well, including for those who maybe aren't able to join us should we be able to have in-person services. At this time, we also have a message from our Stewardship for All Seasons.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our third and final Temple Talk for this year's Filled with Joy 2021 campaign. If you'd like to follow along, please pull out the bulletin insert that you should have received in the mail titled Caring for Our Place of Joy. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Gary Block, and Lisa and I have been members here at Joy since 1998. We have raised both of our girls here at Joy. They are baptized, confirmed, and active members in the youth program here. We consider Joy our second home for many reasons. And just like your home, this home requires upkeep and maintenance to prevent major problems down the road. Joy was established on this hill in 1972 by several founding members. Over the years, it has gone through three major renovations. In the 1980s, the current fellowship hall that we have was added and was the new sanctuary at the time. In 2003, we added the current beautiful sanctuary we now enjoy and converted the old sanctuary into our fellowship hall, added a new kitchen, adult education room, and new preschool downstairs. With this year's Filled with Joy campaign, we would like to increase giving by $40,000 or more and increase the number of people turning in statement of intent cards on December 12th and 13th. Of those funds, we would like to use $30,000 to continue with repairs that are necessary on our church building. First of the four items that we'd like to do is to repair the beautiful stained glass windows in the fellowship hall. Those windows were created by Al Siegelhorst, a founding member who has since passed. Over the years, the frame around the windows has become weathered and is to the point where we need to fix it before something happens to those windows. This repair will also include other windows in the fellowship hall that are showing signs of deterioration. Second item we'd like to work on is the stucco on the outside of the building. There are several places that need patched and repaired from hailstorms, birds, and just plain wear and tear. Third thing is to continue to replace the carpet in the building. We have replaced some carpet this spring in the office areas, but need to continue to do so throughout the rest of the building. The Sunday school and hallway downstairs is in desperate need of new carpet. And then the fellowship hall and eventually the sanctuary will need to be replaced as well. Final item is to continue to patch and repair portions of the flat roof over the narthex. Flat roofs are notorious for water leakage, and it requires constant attention to make sure we keep the water out of our building. So we invite you to take a look at the bar graph that is part of the insert you received. Figure out where you are in your weekly giving. Prayerfully consider moving up one or two lines and make that goal for yourself for next year. On December 12th and 13th, we will present our statement of intent cards in a socially distanced and safe manner, but you can always mail them into the office if you prefer. Even if you are not able to give at this time, please fill out a statement of intent card reflecting this so we know. 2020 has been a very difficult year for many of us for so many different reasons, but Joy has continued with her ministries despite that and will continue to be a beacon of hope on this hill in Parker for years to come. I believe we're all looking forward to 2021 and putting this year behind us. Filled with Joy 2021 is my hope for all of us, and with your support, we continue to make Joy a beautiful, loving, and inviting home for all. I hope you all have a great Christmas, and thank you for your attention.
May the peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to greet one another with a sign of God's peace, and to know that those who are gathered near and far extend their peace to you as well. Let us greet one another. We begin our Advent service with the lighting of our Advent wreath. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe. John the Baptist calls all people to prepare the Lord's way, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Bless us as we light the candles on this wreath, candles of hope and love for our waiting world. Baptize us with the fire of your Spirit, that we may be a light shining in the darkness, welcoming others as Christ has welcomed us, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be God forever. Amen.
Shouting, I am broken. Someone
Continue with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear this glad news. By God's endless grace, your sins are forgiven and you are free. Free from all that holds you back and free to live in the peaceable realm of God. May we be strengthened in God's love, comforted by Christ's peace, and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our opening hymn, Prepare the Royal Highway. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with this morning's lessons.
The first reading is from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. In grand, flowing, poetic lines, the prophet announces that the exile of God's people in Babylon is over. God will deliver Israel and will care for her as a shepherd cares for the sheep. This word can be trusted because the only enduring reality in life is the word of God. The reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" "All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep." The responsive reading is from Psalm 85. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out all their sins. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before the Lord and shall prepare for God a pathway. The second reading is from the third chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 8. This short letter deals with pressing concerns regarding the final advent of Jesus, especially concerns that could arise over its apparent delay. The author of the letter calls on Christians to anticipate the promised coming of the Lord through conduct dedicated to God. The reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything in it that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But, in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Here ends the readings.
Of my word, every vow. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it was written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue our worship this morning with the children's sermon.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm so glad that you're here today, that you've joined us online for worship and in person here at church. I thank God for you every day, thinking about you a lot. Hey, so today is the second Sunday of Advent. And in Advent, the word Advent means something is coming. And of course, the thing that's coming is Christmas, right? I mean, we're waiting and we're watching for Jesus. But we need to get ready. I mean, at our house, we need to get ready, because the truth is that we don't decorate our house. We don't do anything until after Thanksgiving. So, today, I think it's time for us to get ready. So Miss Janet and I, we are going to work together, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to get our house ready for Jesus. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go! that was a lot of work. And I'm so glad that Miss Janet worked hard and I worked hard and we got it to go all together. And finally, we are ready for Jesus. Our house is ready. Just look at it. It's beautiful and it's all decorated. And wait a minute. You know, in the Bible lesson we had today, John the Baptist was trying to get ready for Jesus to come. And so what he did is he said, prepare, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't think the way that we really get ready for Jesus is decorating our house. I think it's nice. I think it's great, right, that we celebrate Christmas. But the way we get ready for Jesus is that we come to him. We come to him and we say, Jesus, I'm ready for you. So come into my heart because I love you and I'm ready. So I guess what I'm saying is today, to get ready for Christmas, it's not about the decorations. It's about our hearts. So maybe kind of hard to understand, but all you have to do is say, Jesus, I love you. Come on, I'm ready for you. Capiche? Do you understand? Kaposh. All right. Hey, let's have a prayer together, shall we? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for sending Jesus into this world to save us from our sin. But Lord, thank you for sending him to us today. We ask that you open our hearts and our homes and that we invite Jesus in because this is where he belongs and we are ready. So, all God's people said, Amen. All right. Happy second Sunday of Advent, everyone. Get ready.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, some of you know and remember Pete Jensen. Pete and Lisa were long-term members here at Joy, but they moved back to Nebraska because, well, they didn't like us no more. No, that's not true. The reason they moved is the same reason that many of you moved here to Colorado, to be near some of their grandbabies. So needless to say, we miss them, and we totally understand their change of their priorities. But while they lived here, Pete served our church as the treasurer for many, many moons. Our current treasurer is Michelle Templeman, and they both served the exact same function. They were to oversee and present to council the current financial situation every month at the council meeting and explain basic budgetary items and functions. Basically, oversight is what they did. But for those who were on council when Pete was treasurer, you will surely remember the perennial bee in his bonnet, the photocopier. It was his arch nemesis. He was always holding us accountable for the number of copies we made and whether or not we were choosing to duplex and whether we were using color paper or just wasting money by making copies. See, the real problem was that we were charged a certain amount to lease the copier, and then we were charged an additional amount per copy charge. It drove him absolutely crazy, and it was really fun to watch. But you know, back when copy machines were first established and as the industrial standard of how to do things by the Xerox company, they pioneered the idea that you should only lease their machines instead of outright owning them and would have to pay a per copy rate continuously, which is still happening to the current day now. See, in their wisdom and their ability to forecast the need in the future, they saw that the market, it wasn't about having a copy machine to make copies. The need that would never go away were the actual copies. The machines were necessary to get the work done, but the money was in the copies. Brilliant. See, this is proof of the old idiom, necessity is the mother of invention. They focused on the need and made the machine and the system to solve the problem to their advantage and to their profit, of course. Necessity is the mother of invention is attributed to Plato. It's not an exact quote of what he said, but it does capture the essence of his idea. Then later on, Albert Einstein took that idea and tweaked it a little bit and ran with it, and he said, out of clutter, find simplicity. From discord, find harmony. And in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Okay, so that was a long way around to get to John, the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the one about whom Isaiah was talking when he said, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way. See, that was John's job. His primary function in the incredible, huge vision and scheme of what God was doing in the world and how God was working with God's people, John was called to prepare the way for Jesus. But not only was he the guy to prepare things for Jesus to come into the world, he also called us to do the same thing. He was a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The one who had the job to prepare for Jesus told us that it was our job to prepare for Jesus also. We're supposed to get ready. But the question is, how the heck are we supposed to make ourselves and the world around us ready for the Savior, for the Son of God? Well, of course, like most things, it starts with us. John gave us the answer. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The way that we prepare for Jesus to get ourselves ready to receive him and to hold on to him and to love him, it entails repentance. But to repent, first we need to understand our need. I read an illustration that I found kind of interesting this week. It goes like this. Let's say that I decide to invite you to come over to our house and just hang out. You know, maybe we'll play some cards or cornhole out in the backyard. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Well, part of hosting and preparing for you to come would be to ask you if you would like a nice, refreshing Coca-Cola or whatever it is that you're choosing to drink. Would you accept the offer? If Janet and I offered you something to drink, would you take it? Well, of course you would. Sure, you would say, that would be absolutely lovely. I would like something to drink. However, what if the cup we took out of the cupboard to serve you, the Coke, was dirty? You know, had old drippy coffee stains going down the sides and a smoochy lipstick smudge, which you know has to be Janet because I don't wear lipstick, a big lipstick smudge around the top of the mug. And what if I took that and poured your Coke into that and you were supposed to drink it? Right into that gross, dirty old mug. Would you want it now? Probably not. Because you want it to be clean. You want a clean mug. You would want to know that I took the time to make things ready for you by cleaning them, that I cared enough to provide you something that was good, a clean slate, a fresh start, a clean mug. This gets us back to the mother of necessity. If we don't understand our need, then we won't understand what God is trying to do, what God wants us to prepare, what God wants us to do in our lives. We have to start at the beginning. The beginning is the problem. The problem is the dirty cup. There's a deficit inside of us, a weakness, a propensity to crave those things that aren't good for us, a propensity to do those things that hurt ourselves and the people around us, a propensity to say things and think things and believe things that are absolutely contrary to the will of God. This is the sign of our broken relationship and our desire, actually, to be our own God. Instead of obeying God, we make ourselves our own gods. And I know it's hard to admit, but it's a problem. And we need a solution to the problem of sin. And that solution is what John is proclaiming: repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The gateway to hope and life and love is repentance. And it's a double-edged sword. Not only does it set us free from our own sin from the past, but it also cleans us. It's how we get prepared to receive and welcome Christ into our lives. So to understand what all that means, we have to go back to one really basic question. What is repentance? Well, repentance is a change of mind regarding sin and regarding God. Specifically, it's an inward turning from sin toward God, 180 degrees. It's hating those things that you once loved and loving that thing which you once hated, exchanging irresistible sin for the irresistible love of Christ. Repentance is a call for us to stop our destructive behavior, a call for us to examine ourselves and then get over ourselves and our self-centeredness and our arrogance and our pride. Repentance is a call to just make things ready for Jesus to come in and be our Lord. I mean, I don't know if this is worse because we are Americans, but it seems to be through all people and through all time, we humans are fiercely independent. And if you don't believe me, think of how many times in the recent past, like the last 11 months or so, people have acted as though it is their God-given right to behave any way that they want to behave. No one can tell me what I can or cannot do. No one can tell me what I can or cannot say. No one can tell me what to think or what to believe. No one can tell me anything. Because I am. Whoa. Did you catch that? I am. Isn't that the name of God? I am a charge of me, and you all are not the boss of me. But if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, if you repent of yourself and your own sinfulness, if you die to yourself and live to Christ, in fact, you are choosing to live in Christ. By choosing to live in Christ, you are admitting, confessing, saying out loud for the whole world to hear, I am not capable of doing this on my own. I am not 100% trustworthy to fulfill the will of God. I am not all that I pretend to be in front of other people on a daily basis. And here's the big one. I am sinful. And my own sinfulness will lead only to death. Not just our death, but the death of the people around us, the death of relationships. And I know this may be hard to digest, but it leads to the death of our families, the death of our communities, and the death of the world. And I'm not just being dramatic. If we have no sense of right and wrong, if we have no sense of being commanded to love and care for other people, if we have no sense of meeting the needs of other people in this world, of how God is leading and guiding our lives on a daily basis, then in fact we are contributing to the death of the structures that hold our lives together. And people of faith, you know what we say? We say, oh my God, I can't fix this. I can't save myself. I can't make this right all by myself. But then we turn around because we know the one who can, the Savior. If we believe in Christ, and I mean if we sincerely believe in Christ, then in fact, guess what? He is the boss of you and the boss of me. And if we submit our will to Jesus, then we are ready to receive him and emulate him and live for him in this world. So John is calling us to prepare for Jesus, to repent, to receive the forgiveness of our sins. But to do that, we need to admit that it's our problem and that he came to fix it. So that's the Advent challenge for today. We each need to ask ourselves, in all honesty and humility, what's wrong with me? What do I need to confess? What do I need to do to turn my life around from my own arrogance and pride and illusion of self-reliance and turn back to God? What do I need to do to make my life ready to really receive Jesus? See, Jesus is the solution to our greatest problem. We have the need. He has the solution. And all we have to do is prepare for him. Prepare for forgiveness. Prepare for the promises of new life. Prepare for hope. Prepare for him, because he is coming. No, strike that. He has already come. And now he is waiting for you and me to get our hearts and our minds ready so that we can make room for Jesus to be our Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in singing the hymn of the day.
The light of life.
So with the church on earth, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need this day. O God of comfort, fill our hearts with the love of your Holy Spirit, that we as your people may extend that same love to others. Tend to our needs, stir up hope within us, and guide us once again to the sight of your incarnation, that our faith may be strengthened in this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Teach us to prepare a way, O God, that our hearts and minds and spirits may burst with joyful anticipation that you are near. Help us to prayerfully reflect on our lives, raising up that which is low and leveling that which is proud, that our whole being may be ready for your presence among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need this day, for those who are struggling physically, mentally, socially, financially, and spiritually. Give us this day our daily bread, O God, and all that is needed for the nourishment of this life. For those who are hungry, for those who are without a home, for those who are alone, for those who are sick or injured, for those who are simply tired. Come, Lord Jesus, heal us. Be with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the beloveds in this community of faith, including Gary, Kevin, Jackie, Troy, Tony, Jean, Dennis, Cody, and Olivia, and Tracy. For those who mourn in this season, including the Brown family, the Lowe family, the Rickefort family, and the Stafford family. For those who are rejoicing in new life, especially the Cooper family at the birth of their son, Ryan. For all our loved ones who we hold dearly in our hearts and minds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. To you, O God of love, we lift our prayers, trusting in your promise to hear us and to answer us in our time of need, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel. Amen. At this time, we continue with our offertory. Encourage you that you are able to make contributions to the congregation and to the mission of this church through our church website. We also encourage you to take this time to reflect on the season of Advent and the many ways in which God has blessed us with so many things. What might we offer to our God in this time?
O come, Emmanuel. exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice,
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I encourage you to take the elements you have gathered at home and receive the gift of the grace of God. For this is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. And this is the blood of Christ that is shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when all the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together our final hymn.
Joy, hallelujah forevermore.
prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.